if you can just browse through that in the meantime.
Thank be disowned by me, I will have to go to the court. All the other ideas are good.
Where are the other colleagues? Why are they coming so slowly?
Can you
speak of the angels?
Are they angels?
You must be troubled.
You don't want to be angel?
No. I went on.
Honourable members and our guests, I think we should start. Those who come in afterwards, after four, it's fine. They will just have to make do with what they find going. Thanks once more for agreeing to come at this time. We are going to just do what we do best. Listen very attentively and to the presentation that we are going to be given by the IDT and engage from there, you see. I can tell you, Sister Emily, that you know, with such a clean, ordered report, you disarm these members. You see, some of the other entities have been coming here with their head down already, and you know, I know that we enjoy that type of engagement with people who have brought their bags with, you know. But I'm not suggesting that you all won't be any robots. Yeah, but once more, the Chief Executive, thank you very much for coming and for agreeing to stay over. Staying on to today. We just changed this because we didn't want you to go back and come back again to Cape Town. Trying to save you some costs. Because you're doing so well. If you can just do what you do best, introduce your collective and team, and maybe start with a presentation, and then from there we will engage. My name is Godfrey Wolfe, and you don't know me. I'm just a new chap here in the portfolio committee for my sons chairing it. But I've been here for 15 years in this parliament, so I've seen in the corridors here, but I didn't know that you are the person who is for 5 years at the head of the IDT, just read some of the reports. So it's nice seeing you with your team. And this is Akona, by the way. You know her, ne? Yeah. She's the strength here next to me. So if things go wrong, I ask her. She'll tell me what you want to hear. Please go.
Good afternoon, honorable members. Good afternoon, Chairperson. Thank you for the warm welcome that we've received from yourself. Just to appreciate that it actually also served us very well to have been able to make our presentation today, because next week we are launching our annual report, so we would have finished that and rushed to come here. Maybe we would have compromised something in the process. So we really appreciate the opportunity to move to the presentation earlier. Honorable members, I am with my team. Next to me is Professor Edith Fries, who is the executive in my office. Next to her is the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Tom Moyer. And next to him is Mr. Mtinso, who is our new executive responsible for Integrated Development Services. Behind, we have got Mrs. Rochelle Dorica, who is the manager in my office. Once more, thank you for giving us this opportunity to make this presentation. The content of our presentation, honorable members, will be the compliance statement, of course, opening remarks, the statement from the minister, the chairperson, the trustees report, the performance report, the annual financial statements, and of course the concluding remarks. Maybe I should start by just reminding members that we have been to the committee before and we did present our corporate plan, and it is in that with that background that we will today be accounting to yourselves in terms of our performance. The compliance statement says that in terms of Section 55(1)(b) of the Constitution, the National Assembly must provide mechanisms to effect oversight of, among other, any organ of state. We really appreciate this opportunity to be accountable to yourselves and also to get guidance and leadership where we have not been able to perform adequately. Hence, this account to the Portfolio Committee on the performance over the 2008-09 financial year and application of public resources with which the IDT has been entrusted is being presented in respect of the committee's oversight responsibility as to enable the committee to recommend the IDT's annual report to Parliament. Honourable members, we will start with the executive authority in terms of those expectations that as a public entity that is governed by the PFMA, the Minister of Public Works is the minister that we report through. The minister is saying in his statement that he's extremely proud of the IDT's achieving the seventh successive unqualified audit, which sets the IDT apart and a leader. We are equally very pleased. It is not an easy process, particularly when you have to be juggling around the priorities of service delivery, also with compliance and the speed in which we are expected to be responding. So we really think that we have been able to achieve this within all those conflicting priorities. The minister further endorses the IDT annual report, which is rooted mainly in the quarterly reports and our accountability processes. What we're saying, honorable members, is that every quarter we present a report to the minister, who then tracks our performance against the shareholders' compact that we would have signed at the beginning of the year, and as well as the corporate plan that the minister approves. The minister is further saying that he has witnessed the impact of the IDT's performance and the impact, therefore, on people's lives. I think the minister's first engagement was at a project that the IDT had implemented, and I think we will be able to flight just the pictures to show you that, and that is the Dalisoka Math School that we had reconstructed. The minister is confident in the value of the IDT as a development agency and in advancing the social policy agenda. The chairperson's statement reflects that the IDT operates in a dynamic and changing environment, and that is very correct, being the implementing agent that is governed by the social policy of government. It is a very changing environment, and you find it quite challenging, and that is what the chairperson is acknowledging in that statement. She has also noted the key changes which impacted over the reporting period, i.e. the executive authority and the changes in the board as well. The board approved the IDT's first long-term strategic vision, and that is the vision that that is the strategy that we presented to yourselves earlier. It's a strategy that we refer to as the 2010-30 strategic vision of the IDT. There have been performance challenges, largely out of the organization's control, but we timeously were able to report to yourselves and as well as the corrective actions that were put in place to correct some of those challenges. So it has not been without challenges, but we have been able to make sure that wherever we have got challenges, we actually put corrective actions. We therefore confidently present the 2008-2009 results of our performance, and that is what the chairperson is putting forward to you all. On the trustees report, honorable members, again, a compliance statement, which is on page 9 of the annual report, and we are also looking into the mandate of the IDT, page 9 to 10, which really confirms that or reiterates the fact that the IDT retained its primary mandate to support government with the eradication of poverty despite changes of focus and interpretation. that in 2008-09, the IDT introduced a focus on women in recognition of the increasing feminization of poverty and the effectiveness of women as change agents. This is a very important element for us because we realize that in order to be able to deepen the impact of our intervention, women should play a critical role and a central role in the process of our implementation. We'll be able to demonstrate how we have achieved that and the successes that we have achieved in pursuing that strategic point. From a corporate governance point of view, which is on page 10 of our annual report, we report sound corporate governance, which is integral to the IDT's business enterprise and ethics. We pride ourselves with that, to say that despite the fact that there are agencies in terms of service delivery, we endeavor continuously to be able to balance that with our corporate governance principles. The executive authority complied with the provisions of the shareholder compact and our reporting to Parliament as well when we presented the 2009-11 corporate plan. The board structure, who again on page 11 to 12 are tabulating the board structure, that we've got 12 independent non-executive trustees, 10 that are nominated by a public process, and 2 by the minister. Our trustees assumed office on the 1st of October 2007, and there are names of the trustees that have been tabled. The responsibilities of the trustees are also tabled on page 13 of our annual report, and the committees of the board as well have been tabled, including the board charter. We've reserved specific matters and other delegations to the CEO. So there has been a delegation policy that we have, which clearly spells out what are the responsibilities of the board and what the board has delegated to the CEO. We can say that our board is effectively functioning, and that is on page 15, and that is demonstrated both in terms of attendance, and there was also a board review, a performance review of the board that was conducted, which also confirms that our board is functioning according to the expectations and the shareholder compact that was signed between them and the minister. We are only just indicating honorable members, the names of the board members in the audit committee, the finance committee, it's the same members. We also have the strategic planning and programs committee. We've got the human resource and corporate services committee, and we also have the REMCOM. Our REMCOM, it is the chairperson of the previous line function board committees that sits and compose of the REMCOM structure, which means we have got about 4 members that sits in REMCOM. In terms of financial overview, and that is reflected on page 25 to page 29, generally on our financial performance information, honorable members, we are saying that there is sound financial management, which emphasizes internal controls and assures stakeholders that assets are safeguarded and transactions executed according to the generally accepted business practices and adopted policies. Our resources are strictly applied in accordance with budget allocations approved by the board. Before we even start with the implementation, the board adopts budgeting principles, and in terms of our assessment, we're assessed against those budget principles, whether we have been in line with what we've discussed with the board. The actual overhead expenditure was 332.3 million, representing a variance of about 0.85 underspending for the reporting period. So I could say that we actually spent according to what we had in our budget. There's only that variance of about 0.85, which you could say it's an under expenditure. My CFO will add on some of those issues when he responds in terms of what we can be able to align that to. There's about 150 million of IDT's funds that was approved for the poverty eradication programs. I'm assuming that honorable members would recall that we reported on the MAT schools allocation that we had done. 94 million was spent, and the rest will be spent or concluded in the 2009-10 financial year. We've also renewed focus on the cost containment, improving efficiencies, working capital improvement, and managing our capital expenditure. If honorable members are interested to look into our cost-saving strategy, we can be able to provide that to yourself. Of course, this is a new strategy that we want to roll out in this financial year, but we are very conscious of the cost issues and how we can be able to also contain the costs as we implement our program. We have also undertook a comprehensive review of program recoverables, and we will talk more on that, and the CFO will also add when he comments on that specific issue. That included strict verification and aging of all program-related transactions up to and including our 2005-06 financial year. This is a very important point, honorable members, because you would see that as we proceed with our presentation, there's even been write-offs that comes from all those that work that we had done. Some of these write-offs or that work that we have been done, honorable members, dates back even before the 2005-06 financial year. These results were tested against strict criteria to determine reasonable expectations to recover such costs from clients. And these are costs whereby we had done work for clients, but we had not necessarily been able to recover that work. So we aged that, we pursued interactions with our clients, and where we realized that we were unable to recover, we then took to the board that $57.7 million for the board to write off. I think it's important for me to also note that this does not necessarily mean that this was money that was lost, but this was money that was put into projects but we could not recover from our clients, which is departments. So if you look into the infrastructure or where that money had been used, you'll be able to see that infrastructure standing, but the issue has been recovering from the clients that we were serving. Exposure of this nature is unlikely to recur. Since 2008, payments for services are drawn down directly from dedicated client contract bank accounts. So we've actually changed the whole system of operation, because we realize that when we get money from clients and it goes into the IDT account, the recovery for that becomes very difficult. What we are doing right now is that each and every money that we receive from clients, we open a dedicated account for that. So which means we'll only be able to implement those projects once we have received that money. So we don't think this will recur again. The investment of the main fund and other sources of income, the main source of funding, which is income from investment of the main fund, income partially applied to fund operations. We're really saying here, as honorable members are aware, and maybe just to remind members, that the IDT, since its inception in 1990, was given an endowment of 2 billion rand. It is that endowment, bless you. It is that endowment that the IDT has been applying since 1990 to date. So we have been funding ourselves through the income that we've invested from that endowment, including some of the programs that we've been implementing using the IDT funds. The capital was applied in poverty eradication projects, and thus it has been gradually diminishing, which means as we have been responding to the eradication of poverty programs, we've actually been tapping from that capital base. As of 31st March 2009, the balance on our total endowment was about 948 million rand. Of course, there is uncertainty in the global markets, resulting into the high volatility on the investments that we have done. And therefore, our fund performance has been monitored by an investment committee, which contributed to revenue receipts exceeding budget targets by 48%, notwithstanding the market fluctuations. We actually think we've done exceptionally well in terms of investing those resources, because as we're saying, we have been able to get a yield of about 48%, despite really most of the volatilities that we've all witnessed. The increased capacity and commitment to recover costs from public sector and a few private sector programs as well. We are trying very hard to cost recover for the management costs of the work that we do. And I think maybe here I could also give an example that at some stage when we started interacting with Treasury in as far as the issues of the business case and the recapitalization, one of the comments that Treasury made to us was that we are distorting their accountability processes. And how do we distort that? Because when there is infrastructure budget that is in the fiscus, that infrastructure budget includes project management costs. But when we implement on behalf of departments, we don't charge departments for project management, which means that that money that was allocated by the fiscus for project management remains in the books of our clients. Sometimes those funds are declared as rollovers, when actually it is artificial rollovers. It is savings in nature. We then started a process whereby we've been talking to our executive authority to get to cabinet where it would be confirmed that the IDT is going to charge for its services. While that had not been done, we have started interacting with our clients and negotiating that we cost recover for the work that we are doing. We've developed a costing model to identify cost drivers, have a sound basis for determining management fees and baseline for future financial planning. We are in this slide trying to reflect to yourself the actual figures and how those figures had been spent. We are looking into the budget and the actual expenditure, and you would see that there's about 102% over expenditure on the first line there. My CFO will also talk to some of those issues in terms of how that 102% was acquired. On the math schools, as I've said earlier, the allocation, the budget that was allocated for the period was about 132 million, and we spent about 68% of that. I must also qualify, honourable members, that one of the challenges that we got when we were implementing the math schools was the actual identification of schools. We also learned in the process that it's a bit difficult for government to know how to handle money that is not coming from its coffers that they had not planned for, because the 150 million was allocated by IDT, but which meant that our client department might identify the schools, but we also need to have teachers in those schools. There has to be teaching material in those schools. So there are quite a number of other issues that are involved. So the identification of those schools and the provision of a budget to be able to take care of these other issues took a bit of while, which delayed the actual rollout of the programs. We're talking to the right sound that we initially referred to, which is the 56.6 million rand. And there is the revenue that we generated through the investments that we had made. We had budgeted to generate about 100.4 million rand, but we generated 157.5 million rand. Hence, we said we think we've done exceptionally well in as far as that is concerned. And the application of our investments, of course, that is the actual that we acquired. On the long-term sustainability of the IDT, I have already indicated briefly in terms of how the IDT has been funding itself. As I said, that the IDT was established with a 2 billion rand government grant in 1990. And until, 2005, the investment income from the balance of this grant covered operational expenses. Honorable members would recall that there was a period when we enjoyed very high interest rates. And in the IDT, when the interest rates are high, when everyone is crying, we actually rejoice, because that is when we're able to get more yield from our investment capital. So the growth in business of the IDT, I'm sure there is a slide that will reflect how our business has grown over the years, and the volatility in markets impacted on the interest rates, and that has resulted in a growing margin between expenditure applied and the revenue since 2006. As such, honorable members, our capital base is depleting, and that is challenging the financial sustainability of the IDT post 2011-12 financial year. The IDT's long-term strategic vision is aligned to the social policy agenda, which is the medium-term strategic framework as the development agency of choice. Thus, the IDT has recorded its future funding requirements with the National Treasury. Over and above the National Treasury, there is also a cabinet memo that the minister has put forward, or is on the agenda of cabinet, to consider the recapitalization of the IDT. Page 29 to 31 reflects the risk management processes at IDT, and we're saying that risk management is embedded in the IDT's business processes. The key players there is the accounting authority, which is our board, the audit committee in particular, which represents the board, the executive management, our EXCO, and the risk champions. We have appointed risk champions to be able to focus on the elements of risk that have been identified. So if you want to get more information on that, it is on page 31 of our annual report. The performance report, which is my report, honorable members, and I'm saying that this report, 2008-09, coincides with the end of my first 5 years at the IDT and the start of the my second term. And I'm going on to say that balance remaining focused on what has been planned with being responsive to a changing environment. In other words, honorable members, I'm saying that the focus of the second term of office would really look into that changing environment and how we can be able to improve as an organization. I'm saying 2008-09 scorecard represents the KPIs and targets completely in the control of the IDT and those which are integrated and dependent on inputs and cooperation of client departments. In summary, we're saying, honorable members, we've achieved 11 of the 15 KPIs and targets, of which 10, that is 66.7%, were exceeded. We've underachieved on 4, which is 26.6%, all of which were not in the IDT's control. And we're going to just give you a snapshot of what we are referring to. In terms of development impact, we are accounting through we're just giving you a few examples of what we are referring to, and that will be on social infrastructure delivery, empowerment of women, and the knowledge production. New opportunities, I think we've been quite responsive and a flexible development agency, i.e. we were able to respond to the xenophobia intolerance project and the Ritlisa Diphetogo, which is a project, and the EPWP2. That was like a quick wins type of a project to say, as we were testing some of the models, which are the projects that we can be able to get into. And we're also proud to say that we're participating in the EPWP2 project, and my executive here will give you more information on that if there are issues that are coming out. Looking ahead, the 2010-30 strategic vision, which positions the IDT as the development agency which will drive transformation and innovation in supporting government with the design and implementation of a long-term comprehensive integrated anti-poverty strategy. IDT funds will be solely invested in community-based sustainable development and anti-poverty programs and the public-mandated work, such as the social infrastructure and social development programs, will be delivered on a full cost recovery basis. Maybe just to recap on that paragraph to say, we're generally saying all the PIAs where we are an implementing agent of government, we will cost recover. So the IDT resources, that is the endowment within the IDT, will directly be applied into community development programs that mainly will be addressing the anti-poverty strategy that we are hoping will soon be approved. Okay, I should go to the manual. I'm sorry about that, honorable members. I'm there. Okay. The structure and the business practice, which is on page 53 to page 59, I apologize for. Okay. Yes, it is in the annual report. That is the performance report, but you can also get into it just to give you more details in terms of those targets that we had referred to earlier. Okay. Yeah. I think it is an important slide that we almost missed here. And that talks to the earlier targets that I had referred to in terms of our achievements. and we're saying that 83% of turnover, of our turnover, has actually been the social infrastructure delivery, largely delivered in rural South Africa, i.e. in the Eastern Cape, was delivered about 39.6%, and in KZN 22.8%. Thus, we are supporting government with the reduction of infrastructure backlogs in historically marginalized areas. It's a very important element, honorable members, in the sense that these are the areas where most companies will be very reluctant to work in, because there's high overheads that you will incur just from traveling itself, getting the materials from far, and as such, there's very reluctant to be investing into those areas. We've also concluded and handed over 8 schools in the Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga and KwaZulu-Natal, which were constructed with IDT funds as part of the Eradication of Mud Schools and Undesirable Structure Program. And the other outcomes that came out of those programs was that we had 24 contractors that were engaged on this project. 21 of them, 88%, were women contractors. And maybe just to add to say, we also do have a contractor award, and we were very surprised and very excited by the fact that the 4 people that won in those awards were all our women contractors. It is very interesting that if honorable members had the time to go and see the work that is done, you can see that it is work that is done with love and very good workmanship from those programs. So they were very much encouraged by some of these achievements and the focus on women empowerment. We have constructed about 116 classrooms, providing learners with first-time access to decent facilities. Again, the impact here is more than what we have written in words. It's really something that needs to be experienced when you see where the schools have been reconstructed, the difference that it makes. In Dalisoka, we were told that even the parents are buying their children uniforms because of the pride that they have in the school that we have reconstructed. So we think that in terms of the value add and impact of the work that we do, definitely we've been able to achieve that. All schools were provided with computer laboratories, furniture, and solar power where there is no electricity, and preschool facilities at the primary schools. Such facilities are not typically provided at state schools. Thus, these rural learners have the access to the infrastructure for optimal learning and growth. We are also quite excited because we've tried to be quite comprehensive. One, from some of the savings that we have made, we've really focused on having those IT laboratories and all the add-ons on the schools. And we think this is the best models that we can be able to follow. Currently, we're actually following up with food gardens in those schools. And again, the impact that it has, we only need to experience it and to get it from the beneficiaries themselves. We are also, honorable members, saying that the IDT did not fully meet its program expenditure targets because we were not provided with the funds to do so. In some instances where we have not been utilizing the IDT funds, you'd find that we're unable to reach those targets because the funds for that we had not provided. An example for that was in Mpumalanga, where there was about 1.2 billion rand worth of PIA that were implemented, but in the process of the year, the budget could not be released. And I think honorable members are aware right now there is still challenges that refers to some of those construction of those schools. Hence, you would find that we might not have necessarily met our exact target. We're therefore saying that out of the 1.5 billion rand worth of portfolio, we were able to spend about 1.3 billion rand, which is 88%. And those, what I have said, are some of the contributing sectors. It is important, honorable members, to note that 632.5 million of the program expenditure was spent on local contractors and labor, which includes 450 million on women contractors. We're also very proud of the statistics, because if we can't be able to circulate government money within the local communities, we believe that in terms of the local economic development programs, we are contributing to the revival of those communities in the areas in which we work. 53,581 job opportunities were created, of which 71% were women, and 2,195 persons received technical training, and a further 13,259 basic life skills. we are again very proud of the statistics, because we believe that without capacity building, there is no sustainable development. So as we engage people into our projects, we want those people, even post the IDT engagements, to be either be better employable or to be able to start their own businesses. So for us, capacity building is a critical success factor that we always focus on. That's the IDT's model of social infrastructure delivery, which is grounded in labor-intensive methodologies, and the empowerment of local labor and contractors has meaningfully impacted the individuals who participated in the program as well as their households. On the empowerment of women, which is on page 35 to page 45, we are talking about the contractor development program, whose objective is to meaningfully contribute towards the advancement and empowerment of disadvantaged communities and women in particular, by providing opportunities to existing contractors as well as emerging entrepreneurs in the building and construction industry. The development of a pool of capable, highly skilled contractors and women in particular, able to compete in the with the best in the sector and to benefit from the substantial budget available for infrastructure development, and creating sustainable and self-sufficient contractors that are able to run profitable businesses. We've currently, within our contractor development program, targeted about 45 women. And we've registered about 59 participants. 25 women contractors were upscaled on the grading system of the Construction Industry Development Board as a result of contract values of the work they were awarded by the IDT. Our objective, honorable members, as we said when we presented our corporate plan, is that most of the women contractors, if you look at the CIDP database, they are between the grades of 1 to 3. Our objective is to pull those women at least to grade 6, where they will be able to compete with other role players in the sector. And we think those 25 contractors, therefore, contribute towards what we have achieved in that objective. In terms of our structure and our business practice, which is on pages 53 to 59, we are saying that our operational model combines centralized systems, process, policies, and functions with decentralized operations, which informs the structure. I also think it's important for me to just explain here, honorable members, in the sense that quite often when you look into the distribution of the costs in terms of overhead costs, there is a temptation to say that we've got a very high overhead cost as an organization. But we are saying it is very necessary for us to do that, because we are selling knowledge, we are selling skills, and therefore we need to be able to have adequate capacities to interact with our communities. But we're also saying that we centralize most of the core competencies intentionally so. As honorable members are aware, that we have got offices in all the regions. If we were to have the same type and level of competencies in the region, it will not be affordable. So we've intentionally been able to adopt this type of a business practice and a business model to be more cost effective and to be more efficient, so that we can remain with the best type of capacities that we require. This is the structure that we have. We've got four business units, and that is the Office of the Chief Executive Officer, the Development Program Services, which is the unit that specifically looks into the implementation of social infrastructure and those public mandated programs that we can cost recover from. We've got corporate services, and we've got the financial services. We are counting on the previous financial year, and just not to confuse honorable members, that in the current financial year, we also have a line function, which is the integrated development services. I did introduce the executive responsible for that function, but in this financial year that we are counting, it had not been incorporated. On the Auditor General's report, which is on page 65 to 68, again, honorable members, the IDT received its seventh consecutive unqualified audit report for this current year. And I quote the paragraph from the AG open quotes, that in my opinion, the financial statement present fairly in all material aspects, the financial position of the IDT as of 31st March 2009, and its statement of comprehensive income and its cash flows for the year then ended. in accordance with the statement of generally accepted accounting practice and in a manner required by the PFMA. Without qualifying my opinion, I draw attention to the following matters. The first matter is the impairment of program recoverable, which was highlighted as an emphasis of matter due to its value, and that is that 56.6 million, honorable members, that I referred to earlier that were written off, and that is what is a matter of emphasis. And as I said, it does not necessarily imply a loss, but it was an issue of the recoverables. The material amendments resulting from the audit were reflected as an other matter, and also that we can talk to as we move along. Financial overview is that the financial statement fully complied with the South African GAAP and IFRS. The expenditure base exceeds revenue generation capacity. Revenue generation capacity is volatile due to bonds in investment portfolio, as I said earlier, and a deliberate trust, therefore, to increase cost recoveries on managed infrastructure program, and I've already spoken to that. In conclusion, honorable members, we proudly and once more confidently present to yourself our 2008-09 year end results to the Portfolio Committee. We are aware of the fact that the committee might not have had the chance to witness the IDT at work during its oversight visits. As is evident from the map at, in front of the report, the IDT has clear and definite footprint in all the provinces. Hence, would like to invite the committee to visit the IDT projects during the current year and join us with the public presentation of our 2008-09 annual report in Zanini on the 26th of October 2009. And thank you very much, honorable members.
You may give them a big hand.
Why not? Why not?
You know?
No. Thank you very much, Chief Executive and team. This is an inspiring report, as we said in the beginning. Obviously, if there are matters that members want to engage with, I think it's important that they do that. You promised to show us some pictures and slides and a movie. Mm. That we're trying to look at whilst you're sorting it out somewhere. We can start engaging. You see, what I think you might have alluded to this in your last presentation, your experience in phase two of EPWP, and also a general albatross of eradicating poverty. It's a simple statement, but in action, in practice, it means a lot. So we might just want to come to that at a later stage just to elaborate more on that. But I must just continue to congratulate you on the seventh consecutive clean audit. Mm. Let me add my congratulations as well for the job well done. Mm. We would be interested to know your cost-saving strategy. So if you can just share that with us so that we might learn from, we will learn from that, but also you can just forward it to a corner. Obviously, there are slides that you were missing here in your booklet before members start to ask where they are. If you can just send them electronically so that we can add them to the package here. But in general, let me
just show you the slides.
Yeah. Members will come back to you.
Just to say, Chair, that additional information in the presentation is, in fact, in the annual report. It's directly from the CEO's statement. But the CEO earlier referred to the growth in our business portfolio. And if members look at the slide, how it jumped from 2001 to where we were in the current year, to give an idea of the growth in our business portfolio over the years. This slide here represents the way in which that portfolio for last year was distributed among the provinces and the expenditures attained in the different provinces. It's presented to you in two ways. This slide just gives us a little bit differently. Besides the expenditure trend and by portfolio, you're again just confirming that the greater percentage, as the CEO says, 83% is social infrastructure, but this little drawing here gives an indication of the diversity of programs which we implement. But I'm going to skip through this. I must just get to the pictures. There's some information on the just on the mud school. Sky, do you want to talk to us? Okay. This was the CEO was referring to the research that was done in terms of the number of mud and unsafe schools at the time in 2006. And this is how the amount that Treasury allocated 2.7 billion rand, and this is how it was distributed. And I think what was, I don't know if I say disappointing for us, we did all of the work on this specific business plan, but the money then went directly to the provinces, and therefore, and we have, it means that the IDT has to go back to those provinces and engage with them and enter into agreements. And there are several, I think it's only four of the provinces where we have been able to enter into those agreements, because of several of the other provinces, the monies were, because it went as part of the division of revenue. It sort of was used in the way the province decided to use it. But here we thought we wanted to show you this one. This is Dali Soka. This is the school that the first day that Minister Deutsch was in office, we were launching, so happened that we were launching this program. And that is how Dali Soka looks. It's what did you say? It's about 60 kilometers from Matata, but it takes you easily about 3 hours to get there because of the road being so really, really bad and inaccessible. And therefore, members can imagine what it costs to do this construction. But I think we're also really proud to say that that work was done when we had decided or announced the Mud School program and the 150 million that the CEO referred to. That was in February 2006. And in August 2008, we launched it. Quite, I think, impressive turnaround time for in the public sector. And this is what it looks like now. We've replaced those. That is what it looks like now. And as you can imagine, those huts had no sanitation facilities. It also had sanitation facilities. And what is not evident from these pictures are the solar panels and the computer labs, et cetera, et cetera. And we're still interacting with them. For example, it's quite interesting that the CEO always says that she believes that IDT staff are with us by choice and not by default. And so in one of the units, there's a social responsibility project where the staff, out of their own pockets, are supporting some of the orphans at the school.
Maybe just to add to say that this is one of the schools that every January, I think, since we quite late from the 2000, it will come the state of South African schools, and there will be those mats, those rondavels that have been shown. And I think since we were able to implement this project, we've not seen that. So we think also just from a reputation point of view, it was important that we started at the most depressed area and the most depressed school that had already been identified.
No, thank you very much. I think that takes care of that point. Maybe we should get engagement members on the on this thing so that one thing. CEO is just that the anti-poverty strategy that still has to be approved by who? Who's supposed to approve it? Is it a board matter? Is it a cabinet program? I want you to switch off your mic and speak there because we're recording what you say. Okay. Please, sir.
Chairperson, the anti-poverty strategy has to be approved by government, But we have been part of that process. It's actually mainly grounded on the principles that followed after the Chile-Tunisia study tour that we undertook. And we came back and we made those proposals, and we've been working with the social cluster in developing that. So we are hoping that very soon that strategy will be approved. We've also started interacting with provinces and municipalities so that they can also be able to respond to the same anti-poverty strategy. But it is critical that we have got a national anti-poverty strategy, Chairperson.
Thank you. Oh. Any timelines in terms of that approval? Do you know at what stage it is?
Chairperson, we can actually appreciate. We're not sure where the process is.
Okay.
I don't know if colleagues have gotten up to.
So the minister would know.
I don't think the minister. I think it's the social cluster and the president.
Okay. Okay. There we are. Go on.
Chairperson, let me also maybe start by congratulating IDT for their clean record and maybe all their endeavor to get rid of all these mud schools and the anti-poverty elevation they are doing around the country. The person, I just want to start with, you know, if we give away something like 56 million just written off while we have given savings, to me it's not really a good business. Something must be done to recover that money. And I would really like to know what methods have been done to recover that money. Because, I mean, one department or two departments that didn't pay you for these services you rendered to them, they actually have overspent. Because that money should have been paid to you, and their records show that, no, they didn't overspend. But because they didn't pay you, in other words, they did overspend to me. And it would be stupid to give this money away if, especially that department that is not performing all right, maybe their books are not even all right. But the other thing that you have mentioned, that you mentioned Mpumalanga actually, which I still want to talk about because I'm from Mpumalanga. Your strategic plan, you talk about something like 1.5 million that you should, to me I think the budget should actually follow the strategic plan. I don't know how to plan and don't meet your expectation because of another department that doesn't give you money. How do you put your strategy? Because if you rely on other people to give you money, then you'll remain not reaching your targets every year because of that. The other one, you spoke about 8 schools that you handed over. And again, one of the schools we talk about in Mpumalanga, and I would really like to know, we only heard about Dalisoka. I really like to hear about these other 8 schools. Which schools are they, so that we can know those schools, which schools, not only one school that is mentioned. But that is my real concern. This is a real concern. You know, when I look at the remuneration of the trustee board, and with due respect the CEO, I'm really not happy with the money that you are getting. This is just too much if it is really the money that is meant here. Somehow we have to get the remuneration board chairperson to explain to us how on earth do they work out this money. I don't understand it. People are getting so much money, which is just too much.
How much is too much? So that we...
The one that is above my salary is too much. The chairperson, even the board, you know, the chairperson of the board there is getting a lot of money. I just don't understand. How do they work out to say this person is fit for so much money? Somewhat, this remuneration board must come and explain to us how do they come to this conclusion, really. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much. CEO, you may respond. I'll take others.
And through you.
I don't know how you're going to respond to your own. But I'm told that the remuneration board must come, so you don't have to defend yourself on that one.
Mm.
But if it's too much, you must also tell us, you see, that it's too much.
my execs will also assist me in responding, but maybe just to start by saying the cost-saving strategy we can definitely make available to the committee through Usisa Corner. We spoke a bit on the anti-poverty strategy, Chairperson, in terms of where it is and that the social cluster is currently managing it. The Honourable Member responded to the 56.6 million write-off that we were talking to. Honourable Member, we do agree with yourself. I think, if I'm not mistaken, CFO, we started this process in the recovery process in terms of the reconciliation. Maybe just to give more information on that, but let me finish off, then you can come in on it. The Mpumalanga portfolio, Honourable Member, we are responsive in terms of our infrastructure portfolios because we are appointed by a department. Remember, in terms of our mandate, we are a development agency that supports government in the implementation of its resources, of its programs. So government does determine that in our program we need a capacity of X. So they will appoint us for 1.2 billion rand to build schools. They identify the schools and they fund the schools. But what we had done in our corporate plan is to put a target to say, for this financial year, we have got a capacity to spend so much. It might not be 1.2 billion. The 1.2 billion will be over the MTF. But maybe we will say we will spend 1.5 billion in this current financial year, including the Mpumalanga portfolio. But what happens is that if the department does not give us the budget, we then unable to deliver those schools. There are a few examples. I think the current SCOPA process in Mpumalanga and those schools that were identified were in our order book, but we never got the money to implement those schools. I don't know what happened for the department to include it as constructed schools because they were never constructed. Hence, SCOPA was then saying those schools were not there. But if you look into our order book, we were appointed to implement those schools, but there was never any budget for us to implement those schools. So that is just the most unfortunate, whereby you find that we will plan to implement a certain value, but we don't have the resources to execute that. That does not mean that we receive first and then plan for it. We've got an overall target to say if we've got 1.5 expenditure per year, that might be Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape, and all the other regions that might have appointed us at that particular point in time. I'm sure the chairperson has my colleagues will assist me in responding to the others.
No, thank you. There's somebody actively consulting with some investors. Okay. You must just allocate a bottle of water to the comrades and colleagues so that we are together. Are there any further responses?
Yes, Chair. I was just looking through the information that I have here. I don't have the names and the exact locations of the other schools in the Mpumalanga, but last year we completed four of the schools which we had committed to in the Mpumalanga, but I think if the Honourable Member wants the exact location and names, we can provide that. And I think, Chair, the issue of salaries is always a bit of a emotive or a relative matter, and our response would be that our salaries are benchmarked annually against other institutions like ourselves. There's organizations like Deloitte and 21st Century who are the authorities in the field who do the benchmarking, and the board would, based on what is put forward, make decisions in that regard. So I think it has to be seen in that context. The second comment is that it is total cost to company. So there's nothing extra that comes in terms of cell phone allowances or medical aid or anything like that. What is seen here, it's inclusive, and it includes a percentage which is guaranteed pay and another percentage which is based on performance. So the final figure there also includes a performance bonus, and the performance that we have put to you is probably accounts for that. So I believe that there are there is a sense of that we don't make those decisions ourselves, but the board is advised based on the issue, the things that I've just said. Maybe Tom will respond on the recoverables.
Chair, thank you very much. Chair, maybe just for the noting of the committee, the program recoverables is really an exercise which management undertook early in 2008 as one of the issues of enhancing our financial processes. From time to time, we identify processes which in our mind can be improved on, and this was really one of them. What we noted was, on an annual basis, the program recoverables amount reflected on the balance sheet was actually increasing. Now, the item was very difficult to pinpoint in the sense that we actually had a rolling balance at any point in time, because the IDT funded all program-related costs out of the IDT monies, and then as and when the departments made available funding for a particular program, we did a recovery against those transfers. That actually opened and exposed the organization to a number of issues. Number one, interest exposure, and secondly, also the possibility of default. As such, we decided to cease that practice, and we opened dedicated bank accounts, as I said, in which we transfer all departmental monies. And just also to emphasize the point, the IDT does not get any benefit in terms of interest earned on those monies transferred to the IDT. It remains the department's funding, even the growth on those funds. So with the ceasing of that practice in June 2008, we then started a detailed process of actually analyzing all the transactions sitting in program recoverables. And it took us as far back as 2001, when we took over balances from a cash accounting system that the IDT at that point in time had. Now, I'm sure committee members will also realize and acknowledge that from a cash accounting system, the kind of information and transaction detail that you need to convert to a fully GAAP accounting platform is not necessarily available. So we also had difficulty in verification of those balances that were taken over at that point in time pre-2001. We took all the transactional detail that we had, and we actually verified that against a number of criteria that we set prior to making any recommendations to the board. The AG team was also involved in that, and they actually also, at the end of the day, supported that the criteria is comprehensive and that it actually puts a very fair and objective position to the board in terms of the potential recovery of that money. I think it was decided and agreed on that the probability of recovering money that goes back pre-2006, just in terms of the legal prescription period, was basically none. So based on that, based on all of the criteria that we applied during that evaluation phase, we came to the conclusion that we're really not sacrificing any financial benefit that we may derive in future from departments. As the CEO has also said, I'm convinced in my mind that it fundamentally relates at this stage to book entries and not to physical cash that has been lost in the process, because each and every cent of this has been accounted for in terms of actual programs delivered on the ground and taken over by the government departments involved. Chair, yes, as I said, this cannot reoccur again. However, the process has also continued for the period post-2006. We're in the process of within the next month to actually finally conclude on the balances that's still sitting on our accounting platform from 2007 to 2009, which will finally conclude on the whole evaluation process that we are busy with. At this point in time, indications are that the exposure of the organization is far less than the previous exposure to 2006, and that the program recoverables balances sitting there will most probably be recoverable from departments. So the phase post-2006, we think we have a good and legitimate claim against departments for that. But as it's not part of this, I don't expect the committee to pronounce itself before it has those facts in front of them. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, sir. Please be rest assured that there are two matters that you are not going to convince Mr. Masango on. One, if he looks at that figure of 56 million, just like that, you see, it's a lot of money. And he did say it's actually stupid to let money go like that. And the other matter is just too much money and so on and so on. So it's fine, you've made the point, and I think it's understood that it's not money lost down the drain, it's money invested into the nation in terms of infrastructure. So we understand, but obviously, as long as you're busy closing those gaps for the future, like you say. Members, is there anybody else? Otherwise, and this is the last round. You speak now, or I leave you to go home. Assisi Stories, anybody else? Yes. Muhammad Lal. Masango. Okay. Those are the only three. Oh, Gladeni. Four. We'll take all of you at the same time and get one comprehensive response.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I would like to take this opportunity to thank the CEO and the team on the job well done. I mean, if this is the seventh successive unqualified audit report, I mean, it deserves a round of applause. Yeah, it's fine. As long as you do the job.
Yeah.
You see, Chair, if you have done the job, if one has done the job in a very good way, one speaks with authority.
Mm.
I mean, you can see the confidence in the CEO that she speaks with authority and confidence.
Mm.
And she happens to be a woman. Oh yes. I mean, all the CEOs, the men CEOs, have got the qualified report. Yeah, that's very good. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. I mean, I would like to know just according to your research, how many match schools did you have before you started to indulge as the entity, and then how many have you transformed, and how many are left, just roughly, even if it's not the exact fit. And my second question is, my second question is about the financial dumping. Before, you had a problem with the client departments coming to dump the money at the last minute, and then that would give you problems as far as the audit report is concerned. And I can go on and on and on. I mean, if you're here this morning, we're talking about the government-funded projects, where the private sector would tell you that it's too technical. we can't have women, we can't have people with disability. It's only all those who know the technicality of the project. But that's why I'm saying I'm really proud of what you are doing, because we are faced with unemployment all over, especially in the rural areas. What you are doing is really fantastic. I would go on and on, because we are saying we have got 88% of women contractors. I mean, you have spent $450 million on women contractors only, and then you have promoted 25 women contractors. I mean, I can go on and on and on.
I'm getting worried.
Yeah.
No. So thank you very much. Thank you very much. I just want to say something. If all members receive this report about the MAP schools program, because it answers your very first question.
Okay.
About the profile of MAP schools and things like that. So I'm just raising it for, so that we must ensure that once we get a quick response, this is available to members as well.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Then again, about the risk management champions that you are having for the internal controls, it's really encouraging.
Thank you very much, Ms. Doris.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, mine is just a little question. I see that they are serious, the IDT is serious on improving a woman's life. But now I want to know exactly, apart from women contractors, what other jobs women are doing. Also, are these jobs permanent or just temporary jobs? If you can just tell us. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you,
Jay. Okay, I'm just...
Go further.
Sorry. You know, I'm looking at one guy here. He's a member of the committee. And he's the chairperson of the strategic and planning. He's the chairperson. I think this guy, they must look at something. He's more absent than the members. He's the chairperson, and I don't see him at meetings.
What page is that?
It's page 21. Dr. M. Tom.
Okay.
And he's on another committee also. He's just absent. But Chairperson, the last request is just, can we get those 8 schools' names so that we know if they can send us, please? I will really appreciate it.
All right. The Mpumalanga one. We're talking about the Mpumalanga program. Oh, the national ones. Okay. Pradeni, can somebody press that? Thanks.
I just want to know, you should compare to commercial banks, the project that you are funding, how different, because this could be a lesson maybe to the rest of the country. You know, in the economy, the biggest problem is that people who really want to venture into all kinds of businesses has a problem with getting funding from commercial banks because they say they are high risk. How do you deal with that? Because you seem to be having a success rate.
Any questions? Any responses?
Thank you, Chair. I feel that I must respond because I'm the only one who hasn't spoken. Now that our salaries are under
question. I was going to come to you anyway.
Chair, you would initially raise the matter of EPWP. We do have a presentation, but my proposal, Chair, is that perhaps the committee may wish to have a specific EPWP-focused discussion, which would give an overview. I'm saying this because essentially we're led by coordinated by the Department of Public Works on that. We do play a specific role there around implementation support. We were initially contracted around about July to look at the non-state sector, which essentially is the non-governmental organizations to deliver on the targets, as well as the community works program, which, as the honorable members would know, is to be accelerated over the MTF period. The target sitting about 20,000 work opportunities sitting there. We are currently at about 13,500 work opportunities, which means by December we will, in fact, reach that 20,000. There is talk of acceleration of the community work program target from the 10,000 to 50,000. But I think a more detailed one would suit the committee a bit better. Overall,
can we do this on this one? Because I don't want you to rush over it.
Okay.
We're meeting with the department on the 3rd of November. And then this is part of what we want to discuss. Phase two of the EPWP and the question of job creation and so on and so on. You might just want to check how you engage and so on. I'm just raising it so that we find some space to give this the proper attention as you propose it. So let's not rush over this thing now and so on. But let's take other responses. But yeah.
There was the issue raised around beyond women contractors. What does the IDT do around women's job creation? I think we do more than just job creation for women. Our main focus is around mainstreaming, gender mainstreaming, ensuring that women get greater opportunities, not just in the economy, but also in decision-making. So if you look at the portfolio of organizations supported by the IDT, you would notice there that there is something around the South African Women in Dialogue. And in specific, the main program that we've anchored our support on is the Caravan of Development, which in itself also employs, let's call them community workers at the lowest level, collecting information and then also directing development at that level. We also support the Progressive Women's Movement of South Africa, which in itself as well begins to provide a platform for women to engage in decision-making and in advocacy. So there's a range of support that we give to women's groups with the aim of gender mainstreaming. The majority of our beneficiaries, if you looked at projects and you looked at contractors, are women, essentially. So that's the kind of work that we do around women. I think in terms of commercial banks and differences that we may learn, in fact, we're starting to enter into discussions and there's still new level discussions with some of the major banks to see on how can we share lessons around that particular area of work, not just in school delivery, as we've put it here, but even in human settlements and having settlements that are not just a certain class, but multi-class settlements where then you can actually get greater development. So those are discussions that we're looking at with the commercial banking sector to see on how we can do that. Having said that, we've also then begun to look at various models, and I think they fall within, let's call it the ambit of cooperative development. Because on one hand, it's access to credit, but on the other hand, it's making the assets that communities have work for them. So the cooperatives model is one model that we're working quite intimately with in order to actually look at that particular space. I think I'll leave the rest to other colleagues to also sing for their salaries.
No, there is only one matter left about the mass schools. I'm sure we can comment on it. But the one matter that is left is about the nature of jobs that you profile for women. I mean, is it temporary, decent, blah, blah? I think that is the question that is outstanding just to...
The chairperson and members of work in the infrastructure sector becomes permanent in the sense that people, there's so much, if you think of the 787 billion that is available for infrastructure development over the MTF period, and the fact that we have reported that several of our women contractors have moved up in CIDB grading, so that means the value of the contracts that they can get and therefore the number of people that they are able to employ. With a development caravan, we in fact supported Sarweed with developing a training program for a category of community mobilizer called social auxiliary workers. So there's a pilot in Limpopo and in KZN that is employing 60 women. And what we are supporting them with negotiating, say, here is a model that was created. In fact, the training program that was developed has been accredited by the CETA. There's an accredited training program that has been piloted, and how do you use to demonstrate how people can be used as in the eradication of poverty. We also have a program that we don't talk about any longer is the Poverty Relief Program, which was started way back in 1990s.
No, Ms. Fraser, I have to stop you.
Okay.
I can see the passion now. You're going to 1965. I think the issue was... I'm just
okay.
Teasing, yeah? The issue was just basically to say, listen, good, let's do what we're doing for women, but let's look also into the quality
yeah.
of the job, the training, and
sure.
things like that. I think that is the basic thing that we might want to engage as we move forward.
Yeah.
So I appreciate your response and so on. Babu Gailan Diagvala Tata, no further comments now, so we're finishing. Just to last comments, I think on the poverty eradication question, we might, as part of our oversight, have to engage on this matter with yourself, and we'll follow up on the strategy that you've given to the social cluster in terms of how far are we and that thing, and to benefit from your study from Chile and Tunisia, and so on. I don't know whether you've got your own report on that and so on, but if you do have, please do send us a copy so that when we engage, we reach it from the same thing. We extended this invitation for the... I don't know whether we have the time, but this is quite critical. Phase 2 EP, WTP is very critical so that we share experiences, we see how far we've gone so far, what still needs to be done, because it's a long-term thing. Bama Sango, I think this one will engage amongst ourselves if we really have to call the Regeneration Committee to come and tell us about the salaries. We seem to be having some varying views on this one, so let's just sort out this one amongst ourselves and come back to it. The cost-saving strategy, I think you can send us this. I'm just worried about your levels of vacancies, 22% at the same time. You see, that you might have to close that gap, because we're doing badly as a public service when it comes to filling vacancies. Some are using this as cost-saving mechanism and things like those, but we can't allow that. With the high level of unemployment that we have, then some of the departments not having capacity, but just basking on the glory of vacancies that are actually funded posts. So we'll have to close this gap. We this question of the program rollout and delays, you see, that sometimes you're confronted with. We'll just flag it as an issue that we've got to be seized with as well, so that we try and assist you in this if it still continues. But with what you say, that there's upfront payment and things like those, that might be, I'm raising this because we don't want to return to this matter as a problem. The CODB grading of women, we've raised it with them sharply, actually. Not just women, but blacks in general, you see, whereby the our people are just trapped into the lower grades. You go to grade 9, it's, you know, I nearly said lily white and male. But there are no women in grade 9 in terms of their own thing. The evaluation process that you're completing, please keep us posted in terms of what happens, so that when you come again and tell Obama Sango that you are writing off another 56 million, he's going to be fighting now. So just keep us posted on that one so that the appropriate time you can engage on this one. Members, I've got to thank you very much for your patience and time and suppress you thoroughly, Babu Kaila.
I actually wanted to wear another year to be IDT.
No, not today. Not today.
I wanted to cross over to
that. Not today. You must apply properly. Apply properly. Let's check if you can get the salary that we pay in IDT. Vicky, you were saying there was something that you're leaving out?
Fiscal dumping.
Oh, fiscal dumping. Budget dumping at the end of the year. Is there something? Is there a problem with you? Yes or no? Just say yes or no. Is there a problem with you? Okay. Not anymore. Okay, it's answered. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. The meeting is adjourned.
Yeah.